And away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, John Engineering and Producing on the other side of the glass. And together, a hearty welcome. We are now on Election Eve. It's Monday, November 7th, 2022. Gee, I'm really going to miss those TV ads. Not. Oh, man. I had my COVID booster shot Friday afternoon, and the Moderna family of vaccines, and I was just laid out Saturday. So I was watching a lot of TV, watched a lot of college football, and I saw all of the political ads. I saw them all, and I don't want to see any of them again. So I am very, very glad that this election will soon be over. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. Our live line, when we have our telephone interviews and we invite folks to call in, 790-2040. Perhaps you feel that some of those television ads make a difference. I'd sure like to hear from you. Our Rincon Ventures live line is open for you. Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe and his family have been at it since 1985. As they say, they didn't get off the bus yesterday, and they specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. With me in studio, Shelley Keiss is seated to my right, one-time congressional candidate and current chairwoman of the Pima County Republican Party and former member of the Continental School District Board, right? Former member?
No, I'm still a member. I will still serve until December 31st.
I saw your scores went up a little bit.
Yes, they did.
That was good.
That is good news.
Brian Bickle is with me, seated to my left, treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. Brian ran for Pima County Supervisor in District 1 in 2016, ran for Pima County Treasurer in 2020. Brian, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you, Bill.
Do you think those ads make a difference?
No.
I agree. What about you, Shelley?
Well, I do think the ads make a difference. They make a difference for the people who aren't as involved in politics as you and I are, for the moms and dads who are just raising their kids and worrying about kitchen politics this time. So it's going to be the kitchen issues, and they're looking on TV, and there's a reason that our candidates would spend so much money investing in that, because it is marketing. Just like a business advertises on TV, the candidates are advertising themselves.
Brian, rich or poor, everybody's been affected by inflation and the economy. And you know it, you know, and I know, and Shelley knows. We've heard it forever that people do vote with their pocketbooks. So, how big a deal is it going to be?
Probably a bigger deal than it should be.
Okay.
You know, I. Yes, I understand. In 2008, my wife and I probably lost between 35% and 40% of the value of our retirement. 2 to 3 years later, we had it all back plus some. We haven't been hit quite as bad this time around, but it's there. And the frustrating thing for me personally is it's not based so much on what's actually happening as it is on reaction to what might happen. I mean, every time you read about a swing one way or the other in the stock market, it's responding to something that might happen. It's a reactive position. And if we could get away from the reaction and just leave it alone.
And if Chairman Powell would just be quiet, you know, his, when you think, I know two of those speeches that he has made after the Fed raised rates. One time, it was like a 1,000-point drop. And then just recently, it was again close to a 1,000-point drop. So anyway, Shelley, so inflation, big deal.
It is a big deal, and it's a really big deal. We're sitting here talking about our 401ks, but we have people that are living paycheck to paycheck, and they're not able to save for a 401k. They're worried about gas, groceries, and kids or grandkids. That's what we're worried about, and that's what this race is about. This election this year is going to be about the economy, inflation, crime, and your children, and that's what we need to stay focused on. And when we take a look at what this is costing, what's your Thanksgiving dinner going to look like? What's that going to cost us? We all see, I have a friend who sent me a text the other day, and she said, I just spent $150 at the grocery store. I have three bags, and I don't have any meat or booze. And that's where we are nowadays, and that's, it's a big deal for our constituents, and they are going to come. This is about kitchen table issues.
But can we blame Biden and the Democrats? Is it their fault?
We're not blaming anybody. We are responding. We are going to vote for the people that we think can bring us out of this. Because we all know that 2 years ago on January 20th, gasoline was not what it is today.
Brian, is it as simple as, and these ads, getting back to the ads, you know, it's all being talked about as Joe Biden's economy.
Yeah, and I think there was a real interesting piece on 60 Minutes last night over social media, mm-hmm. and the reaction, the response, the retweets, the shares, the likes. When an ad is perceived to be truthful, it gets a 10 or 15% boost. If it's aggressive, it gets a boost 10 times that. And if it's just an outright lie and falsehoods, it goes up even more. So, and I think the biggest thing as far as social media is concerned is there's no rails on the side of the bid. You can pretty much say and do whatever you want. Doesn't matter whether there's any validity to it, any truth to it or not. And the unfortunate part is there's no self-control when it comes to, do I believe it? Do I take it with a grain of salt? How do I deal with the problem? So as far as the TV ads are concerned, it's marketing. You're going to put out there what you think is going to sell the product that you're trying to sell.
So, Shelley, if Democrats have a huge day, and I think you think they, excuse me, if Republicans, Brian would hope Democrats would have a huge day, but if Republicans have a huge day, a red wave, if you will, how will that change Washington and the way we're tackling this economic issue that we've got?
Well, you know, certainly we're not going to sit here and blame anybody, but let's be honest. Joe Biden owns the economy. Joe Biden and the Democrats own this. They have the House, they have the Senate, they have the presidency. What has happened with this Inflation Reduction Act that did not reduce inflation, all of that, you've got to own the policies that you put forward. So I do believe that there's going to be quite a change, certainly a big change in Arizona. Right here in Pima County, I believe that we're going to see more precincts that are represented by red legislators than we've seen in a decade. I think we're going to have a congressional seat. And I believe in the state, I believe we're going to take it from the top of the ticket on down. I think it's going to be a very exciting day. And what's going to change is this is a math game. So what's going to happen is we're going to get to Washington, D.C., and the House leadership is going to change from Democrat to Republican, and the Senate leadership is going to change to a Republican leadership as well. And so it's going to be up to them to begin to lay out a plan, which they have already done. Republicans have already put forth their plan on how they're going to move the needle on the economy, move the needle on jobs. We had the worst jobs report that we've had in the Biden administration. We see unemployment creeping up. We see job engagement going down. And they predicted 300,000 jobs. They got 216,000 jobs. So, we need to bring our jobs back. We need to get people back to work. We need to get people moving. The only thing that has really gone up under this Biden administration is the average salary of government employees, which is up now with benefits up to about $150,000 a year.
Anything you want to say to that, Brian, before I talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, which we all agree, we're all going to vote for Mona's. Yes, Mona's.
You know, the only thing I'd put a caveat in there, yeah, we own the presidency, we own the House. I don't know that anybody owns the Senate, and I think that's probably, you know, to say the Democrats own the Senate, but you're kind of hamstrung by the having a senior moment.
The number, the 50-50.
Yeah, but what policy didn't you get passed? That's the key. You got them passed.
We got some of what needed to get passed, but the stuff that falls to the 60 vote limit is catastrophic at times.
All right, when we come back, the new voting model for Pima County, we'll get an update from Brian and Shelley. 129 vote centers open at 6 a.m. tomorrow, closing at 7 p.m. There'll be observers there. Shelley and Brian will talk about that. But first, Mona's Danish Bakery. Shelley and Brian, we've got Thanksgiving coming up. It's time to put in your order for your pies. If you had to make that decision right now, Brian, what type of pie would you like to have on the Thanksgiving table?
Pumpkin.
You'd go with a pumpkin, and Shelley will go with?
Pecan.
Well, Steve and the team can handle both of those particular pies at Mona's Danish Bakery, Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. I strongly suggest make your order early. Go to monasdanishbakery.com, all the information you need about making your order. Last year, Shelley and Brian, they had a record number of pie requests. There were over 900 pies that the team put together for Thanksgiving. And when you make your pie order, also dinner rolls. Shelley, do you like the Parker House roll, or what do you go with usually?
Well, I like the Parker House roll, and we're having an early Thanksgiving with family in Phoenix, and I'm in charge of rolls.
Ooh.
So don't tell anybody.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But I know where to go to get my
you
rolls.
You certainly do. And Brian, is there a particular roll or just any kind of bread will do for you?
I prefer croissants.
Oh, very well.
They're very good.
They are very good, and that is another specialty of Mona's. So, Mona's Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, exciting time of year with the holidays coming up. More on our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Be right back. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Shelley Keis seated to my right, Brian Bickle to my left. Quick call now from former mayoral candidate in the city of Tucson, Rick Grinnell. Rick, hey, how are you?
I'm well, my friend. How are you?
Good, thanks. What's up?
Well, you know, we keep talking about this. Republicans are going to do this, or Democrats are going to do that. Nothing's going to happen if the Republicans take over the House and the Senate, if the president doesn't find a way to compromise and deal with this. And we haven't had a real sense of compromise probably since the early times of President Bush, number two.
All right. What about compromise, Brian? That actually is a good point that that Rick brings up. If it is the big red tsunami that happens tomorrow, we're going to have a situation where we've got Biden, and then you've got the two houses of Congress controlled by the Republicans.
Yeah. Compromise is going to be a key issue, and I think probably the biggest thing to note there is compromise has to be done by both parties. I mean, it's not a question of one side giving in to the other. It's coming up with a workable solution that's acceptable to both sides of the argument, and it's the key to success as far as the government is concerned.
Quick comment, Shelley, before I talk about the vote centers on that. Any reaction?
Well, yeah. I think if the Republicans take the Senate with 55 votes, we may be able to bring five people over, and we may be able to veto anything that President Biden doesn't want to compromise on.
Vote centers, Shelley, what's the latest now? And you'll have an observer. There's one observer from each party at all 129 vote centers.
Right. There's 129 vote centers, and there's four key positions in the vote centers. There's the inspector, the marshal, the judge of the same party, and the judge of the opposite party. They are hired by the Pima County Department of Elections. Those people will be split Republican and Democrat. In addition to that, the party is authorized, according to Arizona statute, to put in observers. And so we will put in a Republican observer, and the Democrats will put in a Democrat observer.
What does an observer do? Oh, well, obviously they observe, but...
Well, and actually what an observer does is actually written into law in ARS 16590C, and it's in the Election Procedures Manual on pages 139 through 142. And Director Hargrove has actually put it into the poll workers manual. So what the observer is doing is they are there to observe the process. So they're looking for things like, for example, if there's overt voter suppression or if a poll worker or election official states or signals who to vote for or who not to vote for, or if they're out of ballots or if they're out of paper or the equipment isn't working.
Can they film or photograph?
No.
Mm.
No, they do not film or photograph. They step outside the vote center and they notify their respective parties.
And you've got attorneys. Brian, you have attorneys too.
It's oh, absolutely.
All standard. Yeah. And so each party will be, have kind of their, what, I guess we could call it a war room set up?
Maybe not the best choice of words, but for lack of a better term, that that probably describes it adequately.
But so how are we doing so far, Brian? The turnout, it's been disappointing, hasn't it? The early vote in Pima County.
I think it has. I've been doing tabulation observing for the past week and a half. When we got done tabulating Friday afternoon, we actually got done early. We tabulated everything that had been brought over from the recorder's office, and we were at about 175,000 ballots processed, which is low. If the numbers are right that are printed on the report that we get, there's 705,000 registered voters in Pima County of all parties. That's a voter turnout of somewhere around 25%, a little bit less.
That would be hugely disappointing.
Yeah, really not a great turnout.
But Shelley, you think it'd be much better than that?
Well, as of November 5th, 260,000 early ballots, either through the mail or email or early voting sites, had been received. But at that point, as of the 5th, the recorder has only turned over 200,000 ballots. So there's about 60,000 ballots that are still outstanding that the recorder has not turned over to be tabulated yet.
Is that a staffing problem? Is that what they're saying?
Well, it could, basically what's going on is that they have not gone through the verification and they haven't been eligible yet to turn over to elections. So if we've got 60,000 ballots outstanding, it is an extremely large percentage. It's about 23% of the ballots, and that's going to throw them possibly days behind. So whether it's staffing or training, shifting resources, but typically the recorder gets about $10,000 to $15,000 or 10 to 15,000 ballots returned per day late in the cycle. So 60,000 ballots would represent 3 to 4 days worth of ballots. We believe that there's going to be a huge turnout on Election Day. We believe
Republicans. Democrats traditionally don't vote on Election Day.
Right. And many of the votes that have come in are Democrat ballots. I was at three different events yesterday, and I would say that 80% of the people at those events were prepared to show up on Election Day.
Brian?
No, not a lot of argument for me. I believe you're going to see a significantly larger Republican turnout on Election Day than you'll see a Democratic turnout on Election Day, which is traditionally the case. Democrats tend to vote early and vote by mail. So we'll see what happens. I think, and the other cog in the wheel, we don't go from the recorder's office to tabulation. There is a step in the middle called early boards. What the elections department gets from the recorder's office is the ballot in the sealed envelope. And then they have to open the envelope, take the ballot out, and that's done by early boards, usually a Republican and a Democrat at a table of two. They verify that, you know, somebody didn't scribble all over it with a magic marker or spill their coffee on it or crumple it up or whatever. And every ballot gets individually processed that way. And once that gets done, then they actually go over to the tabulation center.
How about hand counting?
Well, there'll be a hand count on November 12th. We will do that. But, you know, that's one of the problems. A lot of these ballots are coming in and they're needing to be duplicated because they have coffee spilled on them or they're torn or something like that. So they
have. The dog got to them.
Yes. The dog ate their homework. So that's one of the challenges that we're facing as well, is that that seems to be an extraordinarily high number.
You know what Yogi Berra said about observing? He said you can observe a lot by just watching. So, so you're comfortable, both of you, it sounds like, that having an observer. But isn't that what we do for each of these elections, or is this?
No, this is historic.
Why?
This is historic for the Republican Party. In 2020, we had about 200 observers who were scheduled. Many were turned away because they had the incorrect paperwork.
Oh.
So this will be the first time, I believe, in Pima County that we will see the number of poll workers that we have and the number of poll observers that we
fully
have.
Fully staffed. So
we are staffing. We are staffing everywhere, all across the county, 129 vote centers.
And Brian, the Dems have the same thing, right?
Yeah, and you've got to remember, in 2020, you were staffing 249 polling places.
Right, this is a lot
so
less.
So almost twice as much.
But with a different staffing model.
Yeah.
Okay, where's your party going to be? Do you want to... watch party.
We're going to have parties all over. The big party, however, is going to certainly be in Phoenix and in Scottsdale. And then we'll have a watch party. We're going to encourage people to come and go to St. Philip's Plaza and buy a meal from a local business owner and just watch the numbers come in. Some of our candidates have parties throughout the county.
Brian, do you have anything quick? Real quickly.
Yeah, we're having a watch party tonight or tomorrow night at Brother John's Beer, Bourbon, and Barbecue.
Okay. That'll do it. Thank you both, and good luck.
Thank
the
you.
The election tomorrow. All right. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Thank you, Moe, for your sponsorship of our Monday Political Face-Off. We'll be right back.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Welcome back. back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things getting ready for the holidays. Wow, 20,000 poinsettias are available in every imaginable color. They grow them at Green Things. That's a pretty much year-round process. They are ready, and they make sure they are ready by first week of November, because a lot of people at their Thanksgiving table and around the house, they like to have get ready for the holidays with poinsettias and some of the beautiful things they have. Some of their beautiful Talavera pottery at Zocalo Village, their sister business, and some of these beautiful things that they have there are very appropriate for the holidays. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. They at Green Things, more than 50 years in business, open daily. Our telephone live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and once a month, usually the first Monday of the month, sometimes it could be the second Monday of the month, if the Monday is a holiday. Keith Rosenblum joins us, longtime border observer and writer about the borderlands, joining us on the live line. Keith, how are you, my friend?
I continue my reign as the longtime border observer, Bill, and I do it with very few people in second place. Like, maybe there's a bunch of wannabes in ninth or tenth place.
Is there a lot of interest, any interest, mild interest among residents of Sonora about what we are all excited about, the big election, the big midterms? You would think there would be some, because here in Arizona, every commercial seems to, at least on the Republican side, have something about the border.
I know. I would say, because I've met everyone in Sonora, which is 4 million people, that's part of the observing, that 10% of the state follows us with intimately, like a really good, educated look at what's happening in the United States, because we're admired. And we shouldn't forget that. We're always in a beacon of democracy. And I say that seriously. And people have always respected our transitions from, you know, one administration or one party to the next. And what's happened the last couple of years has been stunning, the people that follow the elections. Then the other 90%, I'd say, have a passing interest, maybe the same kind of interest they would have for, you know, Brazil or what's going on in a different part of the world. They just don't have the ability. When you're paying attention to politics, a lot of times is a function of how wealthy you are. You know, if you're poor and scrapping, you don't have a lot of time to be worried about what's happening in different corners of the world. You have to be worried about your neighborhood, and you're lucky to have the time to do that. So there is an educated group of people and family members, of course. I mean, even Juan Ciscomani, the Sonora is filled with Ciscomanis. I don't know what the relationship is, but there's lots of, you know, that there is a relationship, and there's lots of relationships between people on both sides anyway, family relationships and, of course, business. But the types of business that Mexicans are involved in generally isn't going to be affected by who wins the governorship of Arizona. It will be affected by much bigger issues of the day, but not something that is going on in, you know, a pocket of Arizona. But I mean, yeah, the people are clearly watching, and I know lots of people who are dual nationals and who actually, could vote in both elections legitimately. We have our 9 consulates in Mexico and our embassy to make sure that Americans are able to vote, you know, in case there's any issues with ballots. And, you know, they provide the gamut of other types of services too. So people who are abroad, you know, living in Mexico, but still maintain their residences in Arizona. Rocky Point is filled with people from the Phoenix area who are part-time in Mexico or part-time in Arizona, but still vote. So anyway, to say that there's absolute following of the election, yes, for family reasons, for some business reasons, and then just because on the bigger scale, people know that state governments don't control immigration issues or policy or even enforcement, or they're not supposed to. It's a federal issue. So lots of people care about what our Congress consists of, because from there stems our immigration policy. But I don't think anyone expects anything grandiose in our midterms anyway. So more than likely, the immigration policies as such won't be touched until 2024.
On the state, at the top of the state ticket, Carrie Lake has made a big deal about the border and putting troops or more National Guard on the border. There was an interesting story today at the South Dakota's governor had described the border as a war zone last year, and she sent dozens of state National Guard troops from South Dakota. They spent 2 months.
Things should gross you out. All of us, is we need to understand when we're being played. I've seen those National Guardsmen, by the way. Seen them at the ports of entry. They're idle for the most part.
Well, the documents show that after 2 months, right, on the border, the South Dakota troops didn't seize any drugs. And on a handful of occasions, they suspected people of scouting for lapses in their patrols, but the mission logs don't contain any confirmed encounters with transnational criminals. That's after the 2 months.
What I can't believe is that the people of South Dakota would sign off on that kind of expense of their tax dollars. That's what I can't understand. I can't understand. The line from Saturday Night Live from like 30 years ago, I may be an unfrozen caveman lawyer. I may only be an unfrozen caveman lawyer, but I really don't understand any of that. I can't understand. I've watched the National Guard people at the ports of entry, and they are largely idle. They help on inspections. What they do is so perfunctory and often so useless. If you've been watching the advertisements in the Republic and the Daily Star, they're fascinating too. It's funny, number one, because it shows how newspapers still dominate a lot of the political discussion. But the ads that have been running, for which I think are done by the guy who was Trump's right hand guy on immigration, Miller, I can't remember his name, Jewish guy from Santa Monica, have just been gross. They show, Mark Kelly equals border, no borders equals drug consumption. In other words, the inferences are so amazing insofar as, let's get this straight, the Mexicans are coming up illegally, and then they're committing crimes, and then they're causing our youth to die because we're overdosing. It goes like, it is so sinister and so sophomoric that it just makes me wonder how stupid a population can be to buy into that. But I guess until you've gone and seen the goings on at the border and see how generally how orderly it is, that it's not the fear issues that the Republicans in this election are drubbing us with. Elections are, I don't know if you've seen those ads, but
yeah, I've seen
gross
them.
Beyond words.
Yeah, I watched. Unfortunately, I watched more TV than I should have over the weekend as I was recovering from the Moderna booster shot. And I will be so glad when this election is over, Keith. And I don't.
Well, the reflect again, I hate to say it this way. I wish that we were, in this case, I wish that we were more like some of the European society, and in particular Germany. I wish that that these kinds of campaigns, people would laugh at the people that were putting them together. But the real referendum here, the real stain is on an American population that buys into this. How we've become so much a sophomoric island is beyond me. And I guess, because I don't know any better, I guess that those things make a difference. How those ads could is beyond me, but they're hideous, and they do. I mean, why would you want to win an election where you had so debased the debate that you shouldn't even take pride in taking an oath when that's the methodology that you use to get into office.
And so, look at how things have changed since you were with Congressman Jim Colby. My goodness. Oh, my gosh.
I know Jim. Well, Jim grieves, too. Jim's not a Republican any longer. And he formally renounced the party. And he's in, and the Republicans aren't Republicans either. There's the Trump branch of Republicanism, which seems to be a based on the same mentality as the Salem witchcraft. Like, this is what we feel today, and if they don't float, then they must be witches. It's a repudiation of logic and of science and of everything else, and simply I'll believe what I want to. And the fact that, you know, that Carrie Lake would, on the day before the election, I don't have a problem, actually. If you wanted to cast doubt on Katie Hobbs and her role as Secretary of State, that's okay. It's a legitimate thing. You know, how about you do it when it's appropriate? Do you really need to take it out of your bag of tricks at the last second? Dude, what we're seeing, actually, the reason I'm bringing it up is because I think that what we're witnessing here is a kind of a descent into third world politics, and everybody and those people I was talking about before in Mexico who follow our elections thought us a nobler people. They thought us more genteel, and they thought us more sophisticated. And we've shown that we can be just as banal and just as immature and predatory and conniving as anyone else in the world. We should be in Somalia with our election campaigns.
All right, Keith, coming up in your border report, a haunting case in Mexico is finally solved. Then it isn't. We'll be talking about the latest on what's been going on, and we've talked about it on this program with you before, about the Mexican government said they had pretty much finally solved the mystery behind the haunting disappearance of 43 students. There were
the haunting continues, Bill. Haunting continues.
We'll get an update right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great weekend getaway or a midweek getaway. Only about 3-hour drive east of Tucson. Lots to do. So much outdoor activity like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, just north of Silver City. Find out about all the things to do and some great places to stay and eat by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management with Keith Rosenblum. It is our border report. In August, the Mexican government unveiled a Truth Commission report saying that after being abducted in 2014, 43 students were killed by drug traffickers working with police and the military. A slew of arrest warrants followed. It looked like this case had been solved, but hold your horses, right, Keith?
You know, it's a combination of the old Mexico and the new Mexico and the kind of intersection of ineptitude, political intrigue, and just such inefficiency in the refusal of the Mexicans, which is consistent, to say, let's bring in somebody who's capable to do this. And so you have to start really to understand this whole issue, which could take, you could have me on the program for the next 6 months, and I'm not sure that I'd be able to explain it with all the zigs and zags, but start with the fact that 8 years ago, 43 students disappeared. They're dead. Then you have the Peña Nieto administration attempting to do analysis. This is very much like the Warren, not the Warren Commission, but rather the, let's see, one of our other big investigations. It could even be the Kennedy assassination. There's enough variables, and the Mexicans distrust their government enough that the first results were doubted on day one. That was called the I think it was called the Verdad Histórica or something like that. That was the historical truth, which is kind of weird. It was like a intrinsically contradictory phrase. But anyway, that was disproven. And then López Obrador, who enjoys this fabulous support level, he's undeserving of it, but that's not mine to say. He's got 70% of the Mexican population supporting him into year four. So that speaks worse of the Mexicans than it does of the confidence of López Obrador. But anyway, the second truth, and I forget the moniker that they came up for this one, is just as weird as the first one, says that we figured out it was this particular combination of the Guerreros Unidos, which is the cartel, local authorities in the state of Guerrero, which is, I forget the name of the town, but anyway, Ayala, I think, and then as well as the military, and they show fabulous layovers of cell phone things that could only have been provided to them by the NSA. That's my take on it. There's no way the Mexicans did that on their own. But they show these patterns of people talking to each other, and they determine that the students vanished under those circumstances. And one of the there's a handful of people who are really knowledgeable about this. One of them is Tomás Cerón, who's sought asylum in Israel, of all places. The Mexicans don't have an extradition treaty with Israel, and even if they did, questionable whether he could be extradited. So Cerón is in Israel. They've interviewed him there. My hunch, and I think my hunch is probably what is what most Mexicans think too, and it's what most people who have read every story there is. I can't tell you the amount of time that I almost said the word wasted, Bill, but I'll just say spent trying to understand what happened. For some reason, I just think it's important. I can't even tell you why, but I think it's important. What you conclude is this: the last truth is absolutely correct. In other words, students are all dead. It was a combination of the Mexican military in conjunction with local authorities, in conjunction with Guerreros Unidos, and it was a huge error on behalf of that entire group to think that they could vanquish 43 students. They might have done it with one or two or three or four, but there's some kind of threshold that says when that many people vanish, it's the difference between a Cessna crashing and an Airbus.
Yeah.
When you have that many people
That's true. You have
to account.
Yep.
So anyway, what's happened is the Mexicans have said, well, it's not this number of militaries and it's not those people who are in authority, but it doesn't change. And even the questions about the most recent investigation don't change the fundamentals. This was a combination of a cartel, the military, and the local authorities. And the reason today that it hasn't been all clarified is just that combination of political reluctance to tell entire truth, because it might come back even to the higher levels of the military. You don't want people to really doubt your authorities that much. And also ineptitude. Don't ever eliminate, you know, Mexico's never solved the assassination of Luis Donaldo Colosio, who was a candidate for the PRI in Tijuana, you know, 30 years ago, 25 years ago. Mm. Mexico leaves its investigations incomplete. And you wonder to yourself, or those of us that have spent some time there and have studied it, you wonder, is this by design or is this ineptitude? And you know what? It's a dance. And half the time you don't know who's leading.
Let me ask again a fundamental question. Why were the 43 young people murdered?
43 young people made a goof that under most circumstances, this is the version that is the only conclusive version there is today. And no matter what other versions of the investigations you believe or don't believe, what is true is that the 43 students set out to go to demonstrations in Mexico City as students from all these normales, all these teachers' colleges do. And what is also true is that they hijacked, hijacked a bus. It might have been buses. They hijacked a bus and they're on their way. And I use the word hijack in quotes because hijacking was always a quid pro quo. They did it. They say, hey, this bus is going to Mexico. We're taking it to Mexico City. But later on, there were accords that were made. It wasn't a hijacking like of a Greyhound. It was like going to a garage where you do business sometimes. You say, you know what? Hey, Bill, I need your bus. I'm taking it. Bye. And so you know who the players are. Everybody knows who everyone is. It's not a random act. It's not even an act of violence. It's an act of understanding in that culture that when poor students don't have a bus, they just go and grab that one. And eventually there's going to be compensation made by the college, by the students, by somebody. And they're off to go to a demonstration.
Well, quickly, we're running out of time.
Yeah,
quickly.
I'll make it real snappy. The bus they took was one that had been sophisticatedly armed to avoid detection for drugs and for cash. And that bus was one that was used to go to the Chicago area as a drug bus, and they took the wrong bus. And so it was never the malice or the intention of the student to do anything. They got on the wrong bus. They hijacked the wrong bus, and it led to people thinking that they knew what they were doing. And instead of somebody taking them off the bus and saying, hey, give our bus back, the group that we're talking about or the groups decided they need to be taken care of once and for all.
All right. Keith Rosenblum. Thanks, Keith. Have a great day.
My pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John, engineering and producing, Bill Buckmaster saying, hope you have a great afternoon.